started. So just to review what we did last week for those who were here and may not remember, for those who weren't here, we began Shar Dalet of the Nefesh HaChaim. As I said when I announced the Chabura, it is, I think, unquestionably the most influential collection of ideas, a thesis of the dominant importance of Torah learning, certainly in the last few hundred years. And unquestionably, it has really defined and inspired the entire contemporary yeshiva movement, from Merkaz Harav to the Mir and everywhere to the left, to the right, in between of that range. The centrality of Torah learning in our world, not that there were never sources or people who were pro-Torah before the Nefesh HaChaim, but no one had the influence that he had, and certainly this is one of the most important treatises. That doesn't mean that there aren't povasham things that he says, even important things, that other thinkers, either before him or after him, don't disagree with. But in terms of the importance, like I said, you can't really overstate it. So he began in the first perek with a history lesson. Just to review briefly, where he spoke about this kind of yin and yang, the back and forth, the roller coaster, or for the more academically inclined, the dialectic of Jewish history, where basically people started off doing like lots of halacha, and then they realized, oh no, we have no musr, we have no dveikus. So then they went all the way to that side and they forgot all the halacha. He spoke about, you know, going to a shul and there was not even a single shas, there wasn't anything, it was just sifrei musr and sifrei yira. And then people came and said, oh no, you know, we have to go back to the halacha. But then they did a halacha and they forgot about the yira, and they forgot about, then they all did yira and they forgot about. So that was kind of the social milieu in the background, historical background in which he was emerging, and he was describing, you know, the various problems, etc., with that. So now that takes us to Perek Bet, which you have on the source sheet in front of you. Josh, you could look on maybe with Didi. I didn't make enough sheets. Sorry about that. And in Perek Bet, he begins what is maybe the most famous part, even of Shar Dalet, you have to pick, which is his definition of Torah Lishma. We will not finish that this week. It does not end in Perek Bet, but he starts it here, and we'll start it with him now as well. Inyan Esek HaTorah Lishma. This idea that there's something called Torah Lishma, everyone, you know, it sounds good. Everyone agrees it's very, very important. But says Nefesh HaChaim, the question is, what does that mean? We need to define our terms. Ha'emes HaBaror Ki Lishma Ein Perusho Dveikus Kemo Shesovrim Ata Rov Ha'olam. Right? Those are significant statements. Maybe even you could say fighting words. Unequivocally, says the Nefesh HaChaim, what it does not mean is that I learn so that I can be dveik to Hashem. Dveikus, to be close to Hashem. Now, why does he feel the need to say that? Because in his words, at his time and place, this is what most people thought. Kamo shesovrim ata rov ha'olam. Most people think that Torah Lishma means dveikus, to be close to Hashem. And that's why you learn. So how do I know this, says the Nefesh HaChaim? So that's going to be the basic thrust of this parak, to try to show why he knows that that's wrong, which of course is setting the table and the predicate for what we'll do next week in Parak Gimel, where then tell us what is right. Shahari Omru Chazal, and he quotes a Medrash in Tehillim. The Medrash in Tehillim is known as the Medrash Shochar Tov. That's what he's quoting. The Medrash in Tehillim. And this is an amazing, amazing Medrash. Shebikesh David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Milefanav Yidbarach. That David HaMelech had a request of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaosek Petehillim Yechashev Etzlo Yidbarach Ilu Hayaosek Benegayim V'Ohalos. So says David HaMelech, I want Hashem, you should give the same credit. You should give the same chashivas. Someone who sits there, as they might say, and they say in Yiddish, Zog Tehillim, someone who's just saying or davening up Tehillim, he doesn't mean it superficially or cynically, with tremendous sincerity and fervent kavana, etc. But Lamaisa, what are they doing? Davening, saying Tehillim, prakim after prakim, says David HaMelech to Hashem, please, I want that to be on the same level as someone who's learning the most difficult sugyas, Negoyim and Ohalos. Right, that's from Seder Taharos, which is, you know, probably the hardest Seder in Shas, and those are among the two most difficult Masechtos in Seder Taharos. So that's a serious ask, right, by David HaMelech. You had a question? Or you're just stretching?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. I'm just going to ask you about the stretch. But is there, is it better to learn more difficult Torah? Like, is that considered not higher?
So that's interesting. So I don't, we'll see if we get into that at a different point, but for the moment, he's not addressing that point per se. You could have substituted this with, you know, I don't want to insult anything, but what would be considered the easiest part of Gufei Torah? I don't know, Maseches Brachos, Maseches Ta'anit or something like that. But the point is, either way, that's quote-unquote Gufei Torah, and David HaMelech wants Tehillim to be on the same level as Gufei Torah. Okay? So that's the Medrash. Amazing. So, continues Reb Chaim, Sheha'esek b'hilchos ha'shas b'yunu b'yegia hu inyin ha'yoser ne'alav ohov l'fonov yisparach ma'amir Tehillim. So what's Reb Chaim Volozhiner's insight? He says, from the very ask of David HaMelech, what's implicit in David HaMelech's request? A recognition, even by David, that what is status quo ante, what is the given at the moment? What, you know, unless Hashem will change the deck. But what's the given at the moment? That learning Torah, learning Halacha, Gemara, analysis of Gemara, Halacha, is on a higher level than something like Tehillim. Now, he hasn't said it explicitly, but it's obviously already implicit that he's referring to Halacha or Gemara as what he calls Gufei Torah, and Tehillim may be an excellent vehicle for achieving Dveikus, and yet, you see from the very fact that David HaMelech makes it to ask, David HaMelech is already conceding that unless something changes, those things are considered on a higher level. Yeah?
Is Hashem's response in the...
Let's continue. Good question. So let's continue. So says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, in light of that brief analysis of that medrash, im nomar she lishma perusho dveikus davka, and if you'll tell me that lishma means to learn for dveikus, v'rak bezeh tali kol ikar inyan esak haTorah, and really the whole reason we're learning is to get close to Hashem, to, you know, so to speak, emerge almost, if we could fly out of our earthly body and get close to Hashem, it would even be better, but if we can't do that, at least we get close to Hashem through learning. Halo ein dveikus yotzer niflo me'amir Tehillim karoy kol hayom. Right? If that would be the goal, then instead of looking at Negayim and Alos as an aspirational goal, what would have been the destination? Halavai, we should all be saying Tehillim all day. Right? That way, you know, there'd be nothing for David HaMelech to be insecure about if, now again, this is, I wouldn't say it's a bait and switch, but it's not exactly identical to the word. Reb Chaim Volozhiner is interposing, you know, so to speak, his own categories or his chakira into the two categories in the Medrash. I don't know if I was defending, you know, the Dveikus people. Maybe there's a little wiggle room to get out of this. So I would think it's worth acknowledging. It's not as clean and as smooth as Reb Chaim Volozhiner is making it. But I think the thrust of his point is still quite compelling. That if you felt that Dveikus was more important, why would David HaMelech need some promotion of Tehillim? Tehillim would already be at the top of the food chain. And now Moshe Chaim Volozhiner gets to your point. And this is what I would call, so that's proof number one. Proof number two, if you will, or 1B is, V'gam, he continues, Miyodeh hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-Yodav Zeh. We have no answer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't answer David HaMelech in the Medrash. So it says Chaim Volozhiner, just because David asked, first of all, the ask is an indictment of the position number one. But you could have said, listen, maybe that was true once upon a time, but after David asked, then Dveikus got elevated. It says, Chaim Volozhiner, who said Hashem even agreed? We don't have any record of that. And then he quotes in parentheses, we'll ignore it, but he says, you know, there's other times in Shas where you have kind of a request, and we find out that, you know, sometimes Hashem says, I can change things. I'm God. It's one of the benefits of the job. But here we have nothing. And who's holding Hashem back? Nobody. So if anything, we could deduce, I should say, the request implies even David HaMelech understood this. And the fact that we don't have a record of Hashem saying, okay, no problem, David, sounds like we're saying, no, we're maintaining the hierarchical status of Gufei Torah, Halacha, above things like Tehillim, i.e. Dveikus. Number two. He continues. Point number three. V'gam ki haya dai l'inyin ha'dveikus b'maseches achas o perek o mishnah achas shia asok ba kol yomov b'dveikus. He says, and now a completely new point. If we were to assume that the highest goal of learning would be Dveikus, then in theory, I'll say it the way he says it, and then I think I can make the point even stronger in my own way. The way he says it is, if that would have been the goal, then l'chaora, it would have been good enough. It would have been sufficient to just learn the same thing over and over again. Even if you'll tell me, okay, I have to learn Gemara, I have to learn Halacha, I can't just do Tehillim all day, but let me just do like Zichru or Vaharevna, or whatever, you know, to the max, and whatever those different Chazara programs that they have, I'll just keep on reviewing the same Masechet over and over again. I'll do it with whatever the, he doesn't even get into what the mental technique is to try to speak, be Daveik to Hashem through learning. But as long as I'm doing that, the content shouldn't matter. If the whole goal of Torah is something that is beyond the Torah itself, beyond the text that I'm learning, it's this goal called closeness to Hashem, then it really shouldn't matter if I do this Masechet or that Masechet, or if I do the same Masechet over and over and over and over again. And heck, who even needs a Masechet? I'll just do the same Mishnah, the same Perek, over and over and again. Now, the way he says it, which I think is a very sharp question, well, he's obviously, this is a setup, right? This is a straw man. We didn't lower the hammer yet. But before we lower the hammer, I'll just make his straw man even, I don't know, strawier, I don't know what the right word would be. And I'll say, it's not just that it should l'chora be enough to do the same thing. You could actually argue, if the goal would have been Dekus, it would be better to do the same thing. What am I basing that assumption on? I don't do things like yoga or meditation, but if you do, I think they speak about something called a mantra. That is, how do you meditate, or how do you get into the zone for your yoga or your meditation? You have to think of, whatever your thought. Does it matter what your thoughts are? I think the only thing that they try to tell you to do is the same thing every time. That's the mantra. Find something that works, and then do it over and over again. Because the truth of the matter is, if the goal is to get into some kind of a serenity and, so to speak, leave yourself and leave the moment, then adarabba, the same thing is actually better than new things, right? It's like, when I was very young, somebody taught me, what's the best way to take a foul shot? The same way every time. Doesn't matter. Three dribbles, two dribbles, you spin it, you don't spin it, right? Everyone's got their way. But the main thing is, find something that works and then do it every time. So you could ask this question even sharper than he does, which is, if the goal is Dveikus, then Adarabba, maybe I shouldn't. We should divide up the base matters. You have, again, we'll be relatively ambitious, because, we're Gush, right? So we're not going to just do, Mishnayos or something. You're going to have Ksubis, you have Gittin, you have Baba Kama, you have Baba Basra, I'll give you Menachos. But then just everyone do the same thing every day. And that'll help you get into this transcendental sense of Dveikus, etc. And yet, now that we've built up the straw man, he's very built up, says the Rav Chaim Volozhiner, he continues, Velokain Matzina L'Razal. But to put it mildly, that is not the educational program designed by Chazal. And he gives just one example. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches, tells us, Sh'amru al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shelo hiniach mikra mishnah halachas v'agaros. Right? Who's greater than Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? He didn't just do the same thing over and over again. He finished one area of Torah, then he went to the next area of Torah, then the next area of Torah, then the next area of Torah. How come he didn't satisfy himself with just doing Josh's menachos every single day? Okay, fine, Josh, you'll do tshuvas every day, all day, the same, but the same tshuva. That's the point, the same tshuva, over and over and over and over again. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't do that. V'hainu, kimei ha'aloso alibo tamid. Right, he was doing all that, yet ki adayin lo yati dechovas esek haTorah l'shma, mashallah me'arata. How come Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai kept on running from one mesecha to the next, from one miktsoa and halacha and Torah to the next? I know Shas Bavli, now I need to know Shas Yerushalmi, now I need to know Medrash Sifra Sifrei. How come he kept on going and going? How come it was never enough? And the answer is, l'zos hayashoked kol yomav lahosif lekach tamid, yom liyom misha'a l'sha'a. Because you see from this, evidently, and he hasn't said what the goal is, but it's not Dveikus. Because if it would have been Dveikus, then Rav Shmuel Yochai, and for that matter, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, and Rav Akiva, and the Rambam, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and you and me, at no point would there ever have been the need for a goal to see everything, or even to see a lot of things. It would just be find something that works. And for you, maybe it'll be Tanakh, and for you it'll be Mishnah, Gemara, whatever it'll be. And then just sit and do that until you can get into the zone. But yet we see, this is just one example in the Gemara, but it's really just the entire lifestyle of Torah for 1,000 years, where there's never been any example of somebody who just is, there's one thing called a specialist. Right? Not everybody could be equally great at different things, and like Lahavdil in other areas of intellectual enterprise, there are generalists and there are specialists. There are people who know a little bit about a lot of things, and then there are people who choose to specialize. So we have that in Torah too. There was an article I just read the other day about a Belzer Dayan. I never heard of him before. Apparently, people say he's like the biggest expert in the world on Ribbis. A few years ago, he figured like no one knows Ribbis. It's not like the thing that it actually relates like everything we do, because if you have interest payments on your credit card or your mortgage or anything, those are all potential issues of ribbis. So it's like a major halacha that applies all the time. He felt like not enough people know it. He dedicated his life to this, and now he has a whole bezdin of it. Anyway, he became a specialist. And we know about people who are medical halacha specialists. Okay, be a specialist. That's fine. That's not a contradiction to what he's saying. But even the specialists don't think they don't have to know anything else. They just understand that, you know, if I can excel in this, I feel like I can make maybe my greatest contribution. But that doesn't mean that I'm not also doing daf yomi or also not doing other things. It just became that they became a... But says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, if you really thought that the goal was dveikus, you could be a true specialist. You don't have to learn anything else. He's not saying you're putter from learning. But you just keep on learning. And if maybe you get bored, you try something else. But there would be no need, let alone pressure, to do other things. But uvda, the fact is, we know that that's not the way anyone in Torah works. From the Tanaim to the Achronim, we're always trying to learn as much as possible. And now he goes to a very, this will be the most of the rest of the piece, of the chapter, is a long quote. He's just going to, it's furthering the same point. It's a long quote from a very powerful, and I would say scary, if you're looking for some like, you know, shaking your boots musser, this Medrash is a good place to start. Similarly, he says that we find in the Medrash in Mishlei Rabasa, the Medrash on Mishlei. I don't know if that's on Rabbi Yehuda or Amri Rabbi Yochanan. Do you have is that printed out in your sheet? No, so not in mine either. Amr the Re, somebody said, Bo re kama kasha yom hadin. You know, every now and then our minds wander, perhaps, to what it's going to be after 120 years. What will the yom hadin, ultimate day of judgment, be like? Now, most of us don't walk around thinking that way. Maybe like Navardic Musar or something, they used to do that. But, you know, it's not a surprise that, you know, they haven't, let's say, how shall we say, they have not been able to maintain their market share in the 21st century, right? Not too many people, even the biggest tzaddikim, walk around thinking about the Yom HaDin all day. It's not the way we would probably recommend, you know, inspiring the youth of the next generation. Think about death and how punishing and how bad it'll be, right? Not going to work for too many people. But every now and then, probably it's a healthy thing to remember. So it's going to be really, really, really bad, says the Medrash. It's like, you wonder how bad? Listen up. Hashem's going to judge everyone. No one can escape Hashem's judgment. Right? We all have this, like, in the like, really, like, quiet parts of ourselves, like that really hidden part where we don't want to even admit to ourselves. Like, Hashem's going to give me a pass. I'm going to get to the amusement park and it's going to be like, oh, you didn't know this. You know, it's free pass Tuesday. You know, you can go right through. It ain't going to happen. Right? We all think that we're going to somehow get through easy. Says the Medrash, everyone's going to be judged. But more than that, then Hashem's going to just forget everything else. Let's just talk about your Torah study. Bum yishyesh biyado mikra. Somebody's going to come before the Kisei HaKavod after 120 years. I'm the Tanakh expert. Right? Insert name here. I'm the Tanakh expert. I know all mikra. But what happened? This person doesn't know Mishnah. Ain't biyado Mishnah. But okay, but I spent my life. I know all of Tanakh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hofech es panav mifanu, Hashem turns away from the person. Tzerei gehenam mitzkabrim bo. Don't ask me exactly what that means. It's bad. Right? The fires of Gehenim, the something of Gehenim, the bad stuff of Gehenim, he unleashes on this person. Who's this person? A terrible person? A sinner? A rebel? No, just some guy who was an expert only in Tanakh. Heim notlin lo mashlichen oso legehenim. Right, picks him up by his payas. I mean, if I'm imagining it, why not? And throws him into Gehenna. Okay, that's one guy. Next, he's got the puffed out chest. I don't just know Tanakh. I have gone through half of Shas Mishnayis, and I know it by heart. I know it amazing. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Omer lo bni kal lachos lamalo shenisosam. Why'd you only get through half? Nunu, what happened to the rest of Shas? Ba'yesh biyado halachos. Then someone comes and he knows all of the halachos. You want him to ask him Hilchos Shabbos? He knows Hilchos Shabbos. Cold. He knows Hilchos Yontif. Cold. Hilchos Kashrus. Cold. Hilchos. He even knows Hilchos Ribbis. He knows it all. Amar Le'a Kosh Baruch Hosestim Bini. Toras Kohanim. Lama Lo Shanisa. What happened to the world of Tuma and Tara? You just skip Vayikra? You just skip that part? You know, what about all the complex halachos of Tumah Vatara? You know, you're a Deya, you know, Orach Chaim, you're a big Daya, and you know, Choshe Mishpat, Evan Ezer. Boy, you don't know anything about Tumah V'Tahara. What, you didn't believe I was going to make a Beis HaMikdash? You don't think you need to know that stuff anymore? Also gets in trouble. Grabs him up by the payas, throws him away. Continues. HaKadosh Baruch Omer lo, B'ni, Chamisha Chomshei Torah, Lama lo Shanisa Yesh Bami Kriya Shema Tzvilinu Mezuzah. Right now he's talking about, you know, there are people who are like the reverse Karayim. They only know Torah Shabbat Peh. And they forgot about Torah Shabbat Sav, right? Like the whole yeshiva world. Right? What happened to all of the psukim, all the important things there? That's also a problem. Bum yishbi yishbi do chamish chumshay Torah. So then some guy comes and says, no, I'm the chumash expert. I'm the chumash expert. Omer lo Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lam lo lomar tahagarat. What happened? You skipped the agaratas, the midrashim. What happened to all that? Bosh yishbi yishbi do hagarah. So a guy who comes, the biggest hagarah expert in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu Omer lo Talmud. Lam lo lomar tahagarat. What about the halachos? In other words, everywhere you go, it doesn't matter how much you did, Hashem knows how to find what you didn't do. So finally someone comes, he did everything. He did everything, you would think. But what didn't he do? He didn't do the world of Nistar, of Kabbalah. What about the Maisa Merkava, right? That's from Yechezkel Hanavi, right? The image of the chariot, which is, again, I don't obviously understand it. But you know, it's some very Kabbalistic idea. Says Hashem with like great, you know, you can hear like the pathos. Kisei kvodi, heich omed. You know, he asks this person, do you know what my kisei hakavod looks like? Chashmal, heich omed. Right, again, that Maxim Merkava talks about some kind of fire or electricity, something. That's the word chashmal. It comes from those psukim in Yechezkel. You know what's going on with that? Ubekamba panim humitapech, etc., etc. Bottom line is, there's no escape. There's no escape. Now, this medrash is unbelievably, unbelievably traumatic. And there's like a million ways you could go with it. But so that we shouldn't A, get lost, and B, be too overwhelmed, let's just focus on the point at hand, says Rechaim Volozhiner. Forget everything else it entails. What? It's one big slap in the face to anyone who thinks it's enough to have dveikus. Because clearly a person could have come and said, listen, yes, I only did Tanakh, but I was dveikin, you know, I was in the moment, you know. I might tell him all day, or the other person could say, no, maybe I'm a Shas guy. But the answer is no, it's not enough. But if Dveikus or something else is the goal, why wouldn't that have been enough? So let's just conclude with the final paragraph, and he says, Umestabra nami hachi. Now that he's made the point, you know, he feels that he has beat this dog into the ground, because it's clear he thinks, based on all the arguments I've given, I think if I counted correctly in my book, if you wanted to really be detailed about it, I could say there are three different proofs, right? One was the fact that David HaMelech asks for Tehillim to be upgraded. The question implies a hierarchy. Number two, the Medrash never says Hashem answered him, so you're stuck. And number three is this idea, which the Medrash, and it was already also in the Gemara before in Sukkah, the idea that you need to learn everything. Okay, this is Rav Chaim Volozhiner's, I think it's quite a brilliant argument. If Dveikus would be the goal, there shouldn't have to be a need to learn everything. Forget the fact that I tried, but I couldn't. That's a different conversation. But his point is, why do I even have to try if Vegas is the goal? Couldn't I get that other ways? So now he concludes the paragraph, the chapter with the following paragraph, and this will set the stage, Yemir Sa Hashem, for the next parak, which begins with, Aval Be'emes, what is Lishma? And he'll tell us. So this is like a cliffhanger. He had a sense of the dramatic, because he's going to end the parak on the cliffhanger. But let's just finish up the thought. He says, and now that I've convinced you with the negative, so to speak, my negative advertising, I can show you, why it's not. Let's be honest, he says. Umistabra namehachi. It makes sense. It really makes sense that there's got to be more than just the goal of Dveikus. Sharikama halachos merubos yes peshas. Think about how many halachos there are in Shas. Shebeis asher ha'adam osek behem hu tzarech la'ayenu la'amik machshav tova sechlo ben yinei ha'gashmiya shebehem. Many of these halachos that we study, they involve what we call realia, mitzias. Right? There are sugyas in Shas where I need to know farming. There are, meteorology, astrology, there's so many different areas of halach. Mathematics, science. And even if you think that the goal when I'm learning is the dveikus, but when I'm doing the math to figure out the Kiddush HaChodesh, when I'm doing the zoology to learn Bechoros, how could I have to, clearly I can't be doing with Dveikus then. Kigon, he gives two examples. Kinim Petcheni to write, there's all sorts of laws of statistics and probability in Meseches Kinim, or Nida, all sorts of scientific and biological things. Shengufe halachos, right? That's real halacha to study those things. Or Amasa b'matan b'shas, right? The back and forth, or there's Nezikin or Nashim, back and forth, right? That's real stuff. Uklal dine migo, right? Migo. Right? I don't know how much migo there's been in Kiddushin, but Mirtz Hashem the next year for Shana Bet, right? When you're learning Migo and Migo the Chazaka, Migo versus Taina and Migo versus Chazaka, and the Shach said this and the Ketzos says this and the Rambam says this, Heichana, is there Dveikus in that? The liar could have said this, but the liar did that. Yacholita Ukimad built the Efshar, she had slow Oz Gamma Dveikus Pashemus Karoi. Says with Nefesh HaChaim, even if I had thought that was a goal, it's impossible, you know, to really having those transcendental moments when you're doing all these other things. Now, again, the truth is, if I was taking this out of context, that's why people who are very drawn to Dveikus don't find meaning in Gemara. And let's be honest, right? This last paragraph, instead of being an argument for him, you could easily have turned this against him. Right? If I thought that the goal is this, you know, in lots of your friends and lots of people in your generation, a little less so maybe in this yeshiva or Karim Yavna and, you know, other more serious yeshivas, but certainly other yeshivas where they have a harder time with Gemara, right? These guys spend a lot of time doing things which are intended to inspire them. Right, and if you convince somebody that you need to feel inspiration every moment you're learning, okay, but now we're going to do Baba Basa for 2 hours, it doesn't usually go. So, okay, you know, it depends on where the cart and where the horse is. If you started with the Dveikus thing, so then, you know, that would be an argument against him. But given where he's starting, so he thinks for sure that's an argument furtherance of his point. Mirtz Hashem will pick up with the next parak next week. Shekoach. Thank you, everybody.